Shall turn again to the Word of God and consider a portion found in Psalm 34. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, David in this psalm declares how the Lord cares for his people. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. And we noticed recently that the righteous are also poor. The words are, verse 17 are similar to verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And verse 17 again, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. So the righteous are poor. And that is a comfort to God's people, knowing that while they are sincere and they want to keep the commandments, they are also poor and they are not perfect. But this is what the Lord takes notice of. The fact that they are sorry for their sins, and the Lord is near to them when they are confessing their sins with sorrow of heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is near to them. If you are broken in your heart because of sin, the Lord is near to you. How comforting this is. It doesn't say that the Lord is near to those who have accomplished great things. It doesn't say the Lord is near to those who have attained to perfect holiness. But the Lord is near to those who are broken in their heart and grieved in their minds. And the Lord is near to them to comfort them and to bind up their broken hearts. So we will consider, first of all, and with the Lord's help this evening, what it is that is found here about a broken heart, the broken in heart, the contrite spirit. In the second place, the nearness of the Lord to such. The Lord is nigh to them, near to them. And in the third place, the salvation of the Lord. He saves such as be of a contrite spirit. So we begin with the broken heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. We have two similar words. One is broken, and the other is contrite. The word broken actually means to be broken in pieces. To be broken in pieces. As if a jar was on a shelf, and a child knocked it over, and it fell to the floor and smashed to smithereens, broken to pieces. It's as if a person had been feeling quite confident and even hardened his heart against God, and not confessing his or her sin, not confessing their wrongdoing. But now they're broken. They're not hardening themselves anymore. They are broken in their heart. They are sad and they are sorry for their sins. They are sad at heart. They have a broken heart. Their sorrow is from the heart. Their sorrow is not forced, but it is spontaneous. It is a willing sorrow, a free sorrow. It is a broken heart for sin, and it involves a heartfelt confession of sin. And then there is the word contrite, which means crushed. The word contrite means even pulverized, crushed to the dust. It's when a person is no longer proud, when a person is no longer puffing himself up against God, but is crushed in spirit and is even crushed to the very dust, a feeling their nothingness before the Lord. A feeling, as Abraham said, when he was praying to God and he drew near to the Lord, and he knew that that was an astonishing thing, to draw near to God, to the Holy One, when he himself, he said, was but dust and ashes. Behold, I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. The Lord's people feel this at times, that they know this is what they are by nature. They're nothing by nature. In comparison with God and his holiness, they are as a drop in the bucket. They are nothing in comparison with God. And so the Lord's people, at times when they get a sense of their sins, they are broken. They are crushed in spirit. They are contrite, crushed. This is what they feel. This is their spirit and attitude. They are of a contrite spirit. This is how they feel at times, crushed in their feelings, broken and bruised in their souls, primarily about spiritual things. They feel that they're nothing but sinners. They're like Isaiah, who said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." And they feel that they are self-destroyed. Those who are truly broken for their sinfulness, they're not blaming circumstances for their failings. They blame only themselves. They're not making excuses. If they were making excuses, they wouldn't be broken. They would still be hardening themselves. They would still be puffing themselves up against the word and law of God. But they know and they feel that the law condemns them. Their conscience condemns them. They are broken and humbled. They are contrite and sorrowful. They are mourning over their sins, and they have no hope in themselves, no hope in themselves. But the hope that they have is in him who said, "O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help." Sometimes our circumstances can increase our brokenness. We may be brought very low because of our situation and our troubles. This psalm's context is about troubles that David found himself in when he was surrounded by the Philistines. We may be overwhelmed by our difficulties, and this experience may, with the Lord's blessing, work humility in us to show us our total inability, that we are not able to help ourselves. We cannot cope on our own. And all of this combines with a sense of our sinfulness to bring us to experience this broken and a contrite spirit. David, no doubt, at this time was feeling his poverty more than ever. When he was brought to the king of the Philistines, he felt his poverty. He says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him." David resorted to God. He was trusting in the Lord. "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears." So he recognizes his only true help is God himself. And the point is that these outward experiences, these troubles that we go through, combine with our sense of disobedience to God to bring about a true humiliation, a brokenness for our sins. Well, if we are mourning over our sins, or if we are bringing all our sorrows to the Lord and confiding in him as the one who knows our situation and who can truly help us, and we're bringing all of our sorrow to him, pouring our hearts before him, then the Lord Jesus assures us, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Are we broken? Are we contrite? Are we feeling sometimes broken to pieces? We feel like we have to be gathered up again. We're feeling like we're lying on the ground flat and we need to be picked up and put together. Or we feel maybe even ground to powder, crushed into the dust. Feeling low, especially because of our sinfulness, feeling we don't have a leg to stand on, no case to present to God as why he should receive us. Are we truly sorry for our sins. As David said, I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sins. There's a willingness here. There's a free and spontaneous sadness and sorrow for sin. It's not extorted. It's free and flowing forth. What a blessed experience that is, to have a broken and a contrite heart. It's what God will not despise. And the Lord's people will not despise it either. They're not ashamed to feel low and sorry for their sins. Well, if this is our experience and we're confessing our sins before God with shame and yet pleading the merits of Christ and his precious blood as our only hope for cleansing and acceptance, then here is our encouragement this evening. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In the second place, the nearness of the Lord to those who are of a broken heart. The Lord is nigh. The Lord who is the great I Am, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. The one who loved his people graciously, freely, sovereignly. As someone wrote, God never exercises his sovereignty most perfectly than when he forgives sin. He never exercises his sovereignty more perfectly than when he has mercy on someone. That's what we need to remember. When we receive punishment, we're getting what we deserve, and God is not sovereign in that. He gives us what is due to us in justice, but when he shows us mercy, he's sovereign and free. And here is the Lord graciously. The great I Am is near to those who have a broken heart. The one who has been the dwelling place of his people to all generations. How wonderful it is to know the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, is near to those who are of a broken heart. He is near to them in a special way. He's near to them in specific ways. He is near to them in such a way that he will not break them. We read in Isaiah 42, verse 3, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. You're already bruised by the law. You're already broken in your heart. You have gone through experiences that is showing you your sins more than ever before. You're feeling bruised and broken, but the Lord will not break you. He will not break you further. Instead of quenching your light or the spark of faith, he will rather fan that spark into a flame of devotion and service to him. Instead of breaking you, he will heal you. And those who are broken in their hearts, what else does the Lord do? He takes special notice of them. Why? Because the Lord was appointed for this. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent in order to bind up the broken in heart. We read in Isaiah chapter 61, Christ the Messiah speaking about the reason he was going to come into the world. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And now notice this, he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to bind up the brokenhearted, those who are contrite, those who are broken to pieces because of their sins. The Lord was appointed to be the divine healer, to come and bind up those wounds, to bind up that broken heart. He's like a doctor who wraps up the wound after applying the healing medicine. The Lord Jesus Christ sprinkles his precious blood upon your broken heart, and he heals you and he holds you together by his love and by his grace. Yes, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart to heal them, to bind them up. And those who are broken and bruised by the law, what do we read that Jesus also does? For those who are feeling bound and in bondage because of their conscience accusing them, or the law condemning them, the Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, when he quotes the words that we just read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to set at liberty, to make them free. Those who are bruised, they're being whipped by the law. Their consciences accuse them, echoing the law of God. But Jesus comes to set them free from that. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed, because we are justified by faith in Christ. He has obeyed the law perfectly. He has suffered God's wrath fully. We are justified by faith in him. And being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's real peace when the Lord sets at liberty them that are bruised. Pray for a view of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sufferings on the cross. By his stripes we are healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. See how near the Lord comes to those who are of a broken heart. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, because those who have a broken and a contrite heart, the Lord will revive and quicken. As we read in Isaiah 57, how the Lord, being the Eternal One and majestic, is willing to come down to the level of poor sinners, so near to them, to comfort them. He says, "For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." You see, the Lord is holy, and we would think that he would never draw near to unholy beings like us, so full of sin, feeling the weight of our guilt and the power of our corruptions. And yet, if we're feeling that truly and we're sorry for it sincerely, the Lord draws near to us. He condescends and he comes to us. He draws near to us. And though he dwells in the high and holy place, yet he also dwells with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Are we low because of our sins? We're humbling ourselves in the dust before God because of our sinfulness. Well, the Lord revives the spirit of the humble, and he revives the heart of the contrite ones. That's what the Lord does when he draws near. He revives. He puts life in our souls. He quickens us to duty. He reinvigorates us to go forward. He revives us again and makes us strong again. How we then should wait upon him and pray earnestly that he would come down to us and that he would give comfort to us, because this is just what he does. He draws near to comfort those that mourn. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The Lord Jesus Christ knows the word that we need to hear, and it's a comforting word. It's not a harsh word. It's a word that we indeed do not deserve. We don't deserve any comfort, do we? We have sinned against the Lord. How can we possibly just feel as if God owes us a comforting word? We don't deserve anything from his hand but to lie down in sorrow. But listen to what he says. Though we have been sinful, we have gone in sinful ways. Verse 18, this is Isaiah 57, verse 18. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. Are you mourning? It's as if you have some hired mourners. You just need to just keep mourning. You feel that's the most appropriate thing. Mourning over sin, mourning over sin. Because of all your sinful activities, words, actions, your sinful ways, God has seen it too. But he says, I will heal you. I will lead you. I will restore comforts to you. The Lord will not always contend with those who feel that God is angry with them. He will not always strive in a way of accusation and bruising you and beating you with the law. No, he's ready to comfort. He's ready to speak peace. He says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. Is this not a gracious Lord? The great I am, Jehovah, is gracious. And he says, I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and merciful to whom I will be merciful, because God is sovereign. But it shows that he's willing to do it. He is free. And why not me, you should say? Why not me? Why may he not bestow mercy upon me? And we know that he will to everyone who looks to Christ, because he is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we come to Christ, we have God as our Father, and we can draw near to him through Jesus Christ, saying, Abba, Father. And God is nearer than we think he is. Spurgeon points out that broken hearts are apt to think God is far away. And why would God have any dealings with me? I'm so full of sin, is what the brokenhearted might say. But God is nearer than they think, and he will come. He will draw near. The Lord is near. The Lord is nigh to them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He is near to heal them, near to revive them, near to comfort them, near to set them free. And he will set them free from the guilt and power of sin. And that brings us to the third point, and that is the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He saves them. God is the Savior of his people. Mary said, I rejoice in God, my Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, is the Savior of sinners. And his name includes this word, Savior, save. He was called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, what are his people like? And we know this is a certainty, that the Lord Jesus will save his people from their sins. What are his people like? Ah, they're described in the text. They're broken in their hearts. They have a contrite spirit. They're sorry for their sins. They humble themselves in the dust before God. They humble themselves because of their sins, but Jesus came to save them from their sins. And if you're humbling yourself because of your sins, you know that Jesus will save you. And he will deliver you, and he will raise you up from the dunghill and set you among princes. The Lord is near. The Lord is ready to save, ready to forgive, and raise them up from the gates of death. How? By his own death. He saves them from sin because he was made to be sin for them who knew no sin, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. He saves them from the gates of death because he suffered death outside the city gates of Jerusalem. He suffered death. He tasted death for every one of his people, so that his body was broken and his blood was shed for the remission of their sins. And all of that is declared in the Lord's Supper. What is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is a sacrament wherein, by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to Christ's appointment, his death is showed forth. And the worthy receivers are, not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith, made partakers of his body and blood, with all his benefits, to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. How thankful we should be for this ordinance. It is declaring God's salvation through the finished work of Christ, and it's declaring to us the forgiveness of sins. As Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 26, in the upper room at the Last Supper, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. The remission of sins, that's why his blood was shed. That's what is symbolized in the cup, in the Lord's Supper. And this is what is sealed in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the remission of sins. In other words, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is confirming the believer's interest in the blessings of salvation. It is a means of assuring us that our sins indeed are forgiven, and it is the way that we can have our pardon sealed and know in our souls that our sins are forgiven. We can get a sense of it. And while we condemn ourselves, the Lord absolves us. We are broken in our hearts because of our sins, but the Lord in the Lord's Supper is ready to bind up our tender wounds and to wrap up that brokenness and give us wholeness and healing and comfort, restoring comforts to our souls. And this is how the Lord draws near to us, coming down to us, providing for us a table in the wilderness. And how wonderful it is to think of that when we take this long journey in the spiritual desert, surrounded by foes, surrounded by a devil and a world that seeks our ruin, that we can have a spiritual feast. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And the Lord is saying to his dear people, eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. The Lord comes to us here below and provides this table, provides the bread of life. That is how near he is to them. He is nigh to them that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. In the sacrament, the Lord condescends. He himself is present at the head of his own table to assure his people that he is with them. Lo, I am with you. He is near, near to them that have a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. So draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. What do you think of these things? The Lord's people will surely be praying, Lord, draw near to me. Lord, speak to me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Cause me to experience the comfort of these words. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. And what does this mean to you tonight? Are these things sweet and precious to you? Or are you on the other side, in the extreme, where, like Gallio, I think it was, he was seeing Jews being beaten at the court, and it was said of him he cared for none of these things. Didn't matter to him. Or are you saying, like others, we would hear this again. We want these words to be preached to us next Sabbath, as the Gentiles besought Paul and Barnabas in the synagogue, that they would preach again. Are we saying we want to hear this on the Lord's Day? We want to hear the preaching of the word. We want the Lord's Supper to be administered to us. We want to see with our own eyes the tokens of Christ's love and the symbols of his broken body and shed blood. Well, what is our response to the word of God? Are we saying in our hearts, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways? Or are we like the thief on the cross saying, Lord, remember me? Or like Asaph, it is good for me to draw nigh to God. If this is the desire of our hearts, and if we have a broken heart for sin, then the Lord is going to say to us, thou shalt be with me. Thou shalt be with me in paradise. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. Mr. Campbell, would you pray?